The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go to hell. It is also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. And again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I'm going to begin my sermon with a question, and I'm going to end my sermon with the same question. What does it mean to you in your life to choose life? Can you think of a time when the choice was not easy? Can you recall a time when you made the wrong choice? And how do you find yourself thinking about that today? So, beginning with questions, and I'm going to end with questions. One of the joys of being retired is that I can increase the amount of reading I do. I've always been an avid reader and have stacks of books waiting to be read and belong to several book clubs. So I've always loved to read, but now that I'm retired, it's a little easier to fit a little bit more reading into my life. And one of the ones that I read some time ago, and I'm willing to guess that maybe a lot of you had, is one called The Nightingale. It's written by Kirsten Hanna, and it is set in Nazi-occupied France during World War II. This absolutely remarkable novel is based loosely on the legendary life of one of the two sisters who devoted her life to the work of the underground, specifically that of rescuing downed British and American pilots. And throughout the story, we hear how these two women made hard choices day after day after day. And on many days, it seemed like circumstances created a climate which meant that there was not necessarily one good, morally pure, right choice. And yet, they kept moving forward, attempting to choose life in the best way they could. My life is clean and easy compared to the world that I lived along with as I was reading the story of Vivian and Isabel. Even so, this story helps me to deal with others who have had to deal with the same things, and it reminds me of the way in which my choices also reflect my values, my hopes, my dreams, and hopefully most of all, my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Indeed, the story I'm going to share with you now from my own personal life, I have to admit, is still unresolved. And while it is such a thing about choosing that was mine to make then, it kind of serves to me as an example that all of us at times in life have to choose between life and death, in small ways, every single day. So when I was in college, just a couple of years ago, I was taking a political science course, which, you know, a basic course in political science that most students take in their early years of college. And it was a course that focused on international relationships and the power of multinational corporations. And my eyes were opened to the abuses sometimes perpetrated by these entities whose bottom line was always monetary profit. Now, one doesn't have to work hard today to realize that much of what you and I consume is done so cheaply at the expense of impoverished workers the world over. The one thing I try very hard to do is not buy anything made in China, simply because of that's my value. That is not an easy thing to do because everything is made in China. But what I learned in my political science class back then was very much news to me, but it was kind of a footnote in a larger textbook that pointed to this sort of abuse by one such corporation in a country in the Southern Hemisphere. The company also had an operation in my hometown. Indeed, that very company, in its local expression in my little hometown in Wisconsin, helped to pay my way through college by giving me a summer job. I remember still how my heart felt when I put all these pieces together. I remember the internal struggle that I had, for even though I was hardly out of my teens and I was very naive, I sensed that I was somehow complicit in all of this. I wondered then what to do. Was I wrong to build my own future on a foundation which was literally destroying the lives of families not so many hundreds of miles away? I made a decision then, which I still mull over from time to time all these years later. At the end of the school year, I returned to my hometown and went back to work at my summer job in the same place I had the year before and the year before that. And I reasoned to myself that my refusing to work there would not have any impact on the decisions of a big company like that, especially in the low-end job I held. I came to the conclusion that I would be better off finishing my education, and maybe one day I would be able to make a difference in significant questions like these. Choosing life, choosing death. And it's not that I was entirely wrong those many years ago, and please, I'm not standing up here beating myself up. Given the scarcity of options then, for kids who were trying to work their way through college, I don't feel I really had much of a choice. I was the oldest of six children. I needed to earn money to go to college. It's just that now, all these many years later, I still haven't found a way to make an impact on those sorts of injustices. I still haven't found a way to carry my cross in the way that Jesus calls us to. Indeed, when it comes to this, those choices which are before us and before me still seem like small ones, likely that they won't make much of a difference at all. And maybe it is so that this particular challenge is not what I am called to address, even now. Perhaps there are other everyday challenges where I am meant to stand alongside and raise my voice and affect change. For it is so today, as always, that there are no scarcities of injustices to be addressed in our world. Either way, you and I are charged with doing precisely what Jesus calls us to do today as we seek to follow him. We are to measure our options. We are to estimate the cost. We are, in the words of Deuteronomy, to wonder and to act day after day on the question of what will lead to life and what will lead to death. We are to do so always, carrying the cross which is ours to carry. As I think back on the decision to stay in a job I had questions about so many years ago, I realize that at least twice since then I have been able to make different decisions that I hope in some way work to help change the world. There have been times when I have felt that I've had to compromise too much of who I was called to be and what I was called to do. And in both cases, I came to the painful conclusion that I could not change it, so I decided to move on. Everything in life costs, doesn't it? And just like two sisters in the novel that I had been reading, the choices may never be clean and easy. Even so, those choices are ours to make, day after day, as we seek to cast our hope on the side of life, as we seek to cast our hope in Jesus Christ. Each one of us was washed in the waters of baptism. We were sealed with the cross of Jesus Christ. We were sent out into the world to make a difference in this world in the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ walks with us each step of the way. There will be days, my friends, when we will side with death, for the cost of life may seem just too high. And there will be days when the line between life and death is not entirely clear, when things are in the gray. And on those days, in all of our days, the gift of one who promises us life also promises us and grants us forgiveness and strength for a new day. I pray that each one of us will awaken tomorrow and the next day with a heart renewed to try again, to choose life, whatever the cost. So, what does it mean to your life today to choose life? Can you think of a time when the choice was not easy? Can you recall a time when you made the wrong choice? And how do you find yourself thinking about this today? Amen.